Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Today, President Donald Trump welcomed the 2017 World Series champion Houston Astros to the White House. The president spoke about some of the great work many of the players did in Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria.
When Maria ravaged Puerto Rico weeks later, the Houston Astros redoubled their assistance, and many of them went there and helped. Really great.
There's still a lot of reaction and feedback from some folks on the right, even, regarding President Trump signing the order last week regarding tariffs on steel and aluminum. House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy joined Fox News to talk about really the main country that the president is hoping to go after with these tariffs.
And what he's saying here is, I'm concerned about China. They produce 59% of all the steel, 53% of all the aluminum, and they're subsidizing it. So what he did, he gave exemptions for Canada, for Mexico, for our allies. So what he's really focusing is trying to focus on China.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
Allergy congestion, cut grass, cat on the sofa, dust in the carpet. Whenever allergy congestion makes you feel trapped, break through with Allegra D for 5-in-1 24-hour multi-symptom relief. Allegra D combines a non-drowsy antihistamine with a powerful decongestant for fast relief that starts working in just 1 hour. Break through allergy congestion with Allegra D. Use only as directed. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Good afternoon. The weather today is going to be cloudy with a high near 41, northeast winds around 8 miles an hour. Tonight, there's a chance of rain and snow before 10 o'clock, then snow. Low around 30, north winds around 7 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 90%. New snow accumulations is from 1 to 3 inches. Tuesday, snow before 1 o'clock, then a slight chance of rain showers between 1 and 2, and a high near 45. Northwest winds 9 to 18 miles an hour, with gusts as high as 30 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation is 80%. The new snow accumulation is less than an inch. Tuesday night, it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 25, west wind 6 to 13 miles an hour. Wednesday, it'll be scattered snow showers after 9 o'clock in the morning, partly sunny with a high near 40, west wind 7 to 15 miles an hour, and the chance of precipitation is 40%. And they're going to have a snow accumulation of less than a half an inch, so it's just going to be a dusting. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 26, and hooray, Thursday, sunny with a high near 44. And the rest of the week is supposed to be nice, but who knows. Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County. Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host. My co-host is Tracy Ivey. And this is NAMI's hour. Compliments at Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the Union, and overseas. Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff. We work out of our houses, et cetera, et cetera. What we try to do is we try to help people who either have someone in their family or related to someone, husband, wife, spouse, whatever, who have a mental health issue, or the person themselves that have a mental health issue, and we try to get them the right either doctor or the right procedures to help them get through it. We do this in various ways. What we do is we run a support group monthly. It's the third Thursday of every month. It is at 52 East Main Street in Flemington, and it starts at 7 o'clock and runs no later than 9. Usually it's over around 8:30. But what happens is it's all confidential. People come and they talk about their situation, and some people may have been through it already and can give them some advice, or they can help them, or they're going through the same thing and they can, you know, talk about what's working for them or what's not working. We also teach a family-to-family course. Teach a family-to-family class, which is a 12-week course. And it covers medications, side effects, what to do, what not to do in certain circumstances, what to say, what not to say. It tries to get the person taking the class to feel what it's like to be the individual with the illness. And everything we do is free. There is no charge. There's no charge for the booklets, pamphlets, anything like that. Any paperwork you get from the class is all free. The only thing in the class, you have to register. And if you have any questions or anything like that or need some more information or would like some information, you can give us a call at 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. And we don't man the phone 24/7, but we do have a lady that checks it at least twice a day, and we promise you we will get back to you as soon as possible. Today we are very privileged to have with us Christiana Capra, who we call Cece, or she likes to be called Cece.
It's easier.
Well, no, I don't know. Christiana isn't a bad name. That's a pretty nice name.
Thank you.
Anyway, we want to welcome you and thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come here today. And, you know, we seem to have a lot to cover, so I'm going to get started.
Okay. Thank you for having me. I'm honored.
Don't be honored. We love you. You know, it's not an honor. You know, I'm only kidding you. But I understand from talking to you previously that you used to live in New York City, to be exactly.
Yes.
You know, and had a fairly decent job and the whole nine yards and yada yada. So I guess I have to ask, How did you wind up out here in the country with horses? Yeah. I don't see, the only horses I remember in the city were the mounted police riding their horses. That was it.
Well, the short answer is really because of a horse, actually. I was, as you said, working a comfortably secure job. I worked in publicity and marketing for 15 years in New York, and I had a nice apartment that overlooked, you know, the park. And I did all that so that I could afford my horse habit, which was showing and competing and having fun with horses. I met a horse in New York City that was at Claremont Riding Academy, which was the hack barn. It's no longer in existence, but you could rent a horse and go to the park and ride. And I met this horse named Spring Thaw there in 1996. And then my goal, I got him. I got a horse. And my goal was to get him out of New York City and into the country. And so that brought me to New Jersey. And so for the next 10 or so years, I evented with him and I competed with him. And he got really sick. And I had to go another number of routes to cure him of chronic drug-resistant Lyme disease, which went on for about 2.5 years. The veterinarian who finally helped me find a method of cure led me to EGALA, which is who certifies our work. And EGALA is an acronym that stands for Equine Assisted Growth and Learning Association. So I read their website one night, and I pulled out my credit card, and I signed up for both trainings because somewhere in my body I knew that I finally had found what I wanted to be when I grew up, and I was almost 40.
You hadn't grown up yet, huh?
I guess not.
I understand that your program, you want to give us the name of it?
Sure. I actually have two companies. The first one I started was an LLC because it was $250 and a form you filled out. And the nonprofit route really was scary to me at that time. So I founded Spring Rains of Hope, LLC, which is a for-profit, in 2009. And then we realized from the interest that was coming from the veterans population and also the at-risk inner-city youth teens, both of which had great interest in coming to the farm and having services, but there was no way to pay. So Spring Rains of Life, which is our 501c3 nonprofit, it's a public charity. It's also volunteer-run. So when you were talking about naming, I realized I know what that's like. We have no paid staff. It's all volunteer. Mm-hmm. And that is so that most of the money that we raise can go towards programming. So Spring Rains of Life was founded in 2011, and its purpose is to serve trauma survivors, namely veterans, at-risk and high-risk teens, and also young children who have experienced loss.
And I understand you don't ride the horses.
Oh, no, we don't ride at all.
So if you could elaborate a little bit how, say, as a vet comes to you or reaches out to you, what happens then? What's the procedure?
Certainly. So with our veterans population, which I'd love to focus on today because that's kind of what's coming up, we have worked with Lyons Hospital for the last, well, since 2012. June in 2012, we started seeing the men's unit, the men's PTSD unit there. Since then, we've expanded to serve the domiciliary unit and also the women's unit. So in those cases, Lyons brings in a van the group to us. We usually see veterans Wednesday mornings. And then we also have an open group called Operation Horse, which is any veteran, and I'll put that out there if there's any veterans in central New Jersey or can get to us in central New Jersey who would be interested in coming. We do have room and space to hold that, and you just have to get yourself to the farm is really
and
all it is.
Where is the farm located?
We're in Three Bridges, New Jersey now.
Three Bridges? Okay.
We've moved around a little bit, but we are now pretty solidly centered in Three Bridges. But anyway, to get to the real answer to your question, so veterans show up to the farm, what do we do? Let's say it's their first visit. They've never been to us before. I'll start there. So we'll welcome them to the farm. Mm-hmm. I give out a general safety tip, and I sort of explain a little bit what they might have in common with horses as a primal animal. And then we basically enter the arena, and the horses, I usually have three or four horses that are loose in an arena or a pasture, but it's a fenced-in area.
Right.
And we ask, the first thing we'll ask our veterans to do, and basically all of our populations, is to notice what they notice. That's sort of my little slogan that I say, notice what you notice. And that is designed to allow senses to open up, you know, to be more present, to notice what you see, what you hear, what you smell. I joke sometimes and say you can try what you taste, but, you know, that's up to you. But it's just to get them into the environment and see what they do notice. And also we talk about self-care and personal space and personal safety. And so it's very easy to get very present when you have 1,000-pound beings moving around you.
Right.
But we try to take that one step further and say, okay, now that you are here and present with us, decide what space you need between yourself and these horses to feel safe. And that sort of brings up the ability to notice if they feel safe or not. And if they don't, they meaning the veterans, they have the opportunity to create more distance between the horses because the horses will do that for themselves to stay safe. Hmm. So it kind of starts as this dance. It's sort of a dance. And throughout the first two-hour session we have, there may come a point where, usually actually comes a point where you see horse and veteran making some kind of connection, whether that's through physical touch or just walking together. But it's establishing that connection is the first thing that we try to accomplish. And then when they come back for another time, then we take that to the next step.
They come back every week, is it? Or
with the VA in the hospital, it's a little tricky only because of scheduling and vans that are available and all those sort of logistics.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And funding comes into play a little bit there. Generally, each unit comes to the farm once a month, and then our open group comes as often as we can schedule them. It's usually twice a month.
Okay.
And they can, the open group can keep coming back. We have a couple of guys, OAF vets, that have been coming to us for over a year. They don't come every time, but
right.
They do keep coming back, and I know that means that they're getting something from it.
Does a horse recognize them when they come back? Say if I hooked up with a horse of one of your horses, mm-hmm. and I don't come for a month. Do we have to go through that procedure again of hooking up, or that a horse recognize me?
Not usually. It depends on how you show up. You know,
okay,
and I will,
you
want and
to explain how to show up?
Well, we always say
I'll have clothes on if that's what you mean.
Oh, that's a good start.
Notice what you notice.
Notice what you notice, exactly. We generally try to explain that no matter what state we're at, no matter what process we're at in the process of therapy, is that the horses will always meet you right where you are. So if you show up that day and you're kind of doing all right, and maybe you've had a couple good nights sleep, or you know things are going all right,
right.
The horses are more engaged and they will approach you more openly. And yes, I have noticed that certain, you know, our veterans will usually create some kind of a bond with one horse in particular, and that may change as it may shift to a different horse, but they do usually create some kind of a bond based on some theme. And I know I'm being very vague, but I have to, because for each session and for each veteran, it ends up being a different scenario.
Right. Okay.
But they will create a connection, and sometimes, you know, they'll see parts of themselves or their family or their spouse in the horses, and that sort of has a way to play out. So the reason I love doing what I do is, well, there are many reasons, but one of the reasons is because I do get to see every session that we do, and I get to see how differently the same horses respond to different veterans, and then also how they respond the same.
Mm, okay. Hold that thought. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Mental Health Matters.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rab Coin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. If you just joined us, we have with us today, well, I'll call her CC because that's what she likes to be called. But her name is Christiana Capra, and she has a horse farm that Spring Rains for Life.
Spring Rains of Life.
Of Life, okay.
We rent space at Hunt Camp Farms in Three Bridges.
Right, right, because I almost drove by it when I went up there, but that's another story. Tracy, you said you had some questions.
Okay. First, you mentioned how when they're getting their distance, some of them are backing up. Do you find some who are getting close, maybe too close, and maybe being a little aggressive toward the horse?
Oh, that's a really interesting, great question. Yes, I wouldn't say it was really the norm, but I have seen some at some times. There has been two things. There's been possibly a showing of maybe lack of their own safety and, mm-hmm. and taking care of that. I once had a veteran, the horses were running a lot in the arena. They just got really going. And I asked all the veterans to come into the center, and we called that home base, which would be safe. And we were watching them run, and we were kind of enjoying that. But I knew everyone would be safe if we stayed in the middle. And one veteran, he was a Vietnam vet, he wandered kind of out into no man's land where the horses were running. And one of the horses came by and just barely missed him. And we talked about it later, and he was able to kind of link that and identify that up to something that he did, like he will walk out into the street without looking if cars are coming. And so we kind of said, well, because we asked, are there other places in your life where you might just walk out into somewhere that could be dangerous? And mm-hmm. he mentioned that. And so our mental health professional was able to talk to him about that a little bit and help him see that. Mm-hmm. And then the other side of it would be sort of emotion, or maybe anger could be a strong emotion that comes in the arena sometimes. So horses are very good at reading emotion. They're very good at reading the barometer of our body, our biorhythms, so our heart rate, our skin temperature, our breathing, and basically how connected and present we are. So if we have an emotion of anger, or we're detached or disassociated, which is very common with PTSD vets, the horses will react to that in that they might choose to move away. They might let a veteran get 5 feet to them, but then when they try to come closer, they will make more space because of the inability to be able to trust their own safety. So they mm-hmm. will make space to keep themselves safe. But then we talk to the veteran about, well, what differently could we do to get closer to that horse? What do you think is happening with the horse that you're not able to get close? And so they're able to kind of take that and use that metaphor in their own life, because usually they can recognize that behavior coming from the horse, that they've already seen that from their wife or from their children or other people in their family, so or their right. lives.
Interesting. Very interesting. Oh, okay. I'll ask another question. So what tasks, what do they do? One thing that came to my mind is, do they muck up the stalls too? Or just lead the horses or what?
I have had teenagers clean fields before as part of an activity to pick manure up off the fields, but we used it in a very metaphorical setting.
Okay.
Veterans, I don't really ask to do that kind of stuff. I mean...
Thank you.
Well, I didn't know.
Had a couple see a pitchfork sitting by and a pile of something on the ground, and they've opted to do that, but I've never asked them to do that. So tasks, yes. All of the activities that we bring into the arena is designed and is planned on our end. I work with a mental health professional all the time. I am not one, and I'm not trained as one, but I am the horse side of our team.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a mental health professional by the name of Dr. Maria Katsimanis, who is also a veteran, and she runs these sessions with me. She's a PsyD, and so all of our planning for each session, we plan to have a plan, but we don't always expect to follow it because the horses might change it, and we always, always go with what the horses say. However, with that said, we'll walk in. Let's say, example, we have our open group is coming tomorrow morning, and we know what we've been working on with them on an ongoing basis, so we already have an idea of what we'd like to ask them to do. So to give an example, I won't say this because that's their session tomorrow, but just to pull something out of my head, we might say, let's say, to the Dom unit at Lyons Hospital. That's a good one because they're in a transition phase of working to have a home and a job and get back into their life. So we might ask that group to create two spaces, one that represents where they are right now today, and we'll name the date, and then to create another space somewhere else in our arena that could represent where they'd like to see themselves a year from now, or what they might imagine their life would be a year from now. And we have cones and barrels and all kinds of ornaments and objects. I like to shop garage sales because I find all kinds of wacky things that could be used in our arena. I have helmets, and like for our veterans, we do have some artillery type things like play guns or swords or whatever. But they're able to then use what we have sitting there in the ground to create these spaces. And then once they're done, we ask them to connect with a horse that they are resonating with that day and invite that horse, however they see that horse, to join them both in their present and in their future. And we don't do horsemanship, so we're not saying go catch that horse, halter it, and walk it through this. We're saying go connect with the horse that you resonate with and invite them to come with you. So that's really open. That can mean anything. And we've had everything from sweatshirts coming off and using the sleeves of a sweatshirt to go around the horse's neck or leg to sometimes we'll have things in the arena for them to use, so maybe a plastic chain or a crocheted yarn or even nothing. Sometimes we've seen veterans be able to connect so well with a horse that they could get them to walk next to them without anything on them. So, but that horse becomes very metaphorical as far as what type of internal power or what type of strength might you need, what kind of horsepower might you need to get from your present to your future.
Do you find that a lot of the vets have the same goal?
I guess I can't answer that truly, honestly, because we don't really get into too much talking and discussing in our groups. One of the things I think attracts veterans to our work is that we say we don't have to talk about it. So they're always invited to share whatever they feel comfortable sharing, but we don't really ask a lot of personal questions. What does resonate, I think, very well across the board with whether, and this is any combat, so we've seen veterans from Vietnam, Korea, Iraq, Afghanistan, Desert Storm. It doesn't really seem to matter that way. But we ask for one word at the end of our sessions. Every group, as we're winding down, will say, give me one word. And what that means is, what's the first word that comes to your mind for your experience today? And so at the end of each year, I go through our notes and I count up how many times we've heard the word patience or or calm or peace or relaxed or thank you or, you know, there's certain words that mm-hmm. repeat over and over mm-hmm. and over.
Right.
And sometimes it might be something like frustrated or, you know, anxious, but usually it's these positive words, and those become my jewels. Those words are really like jewels to me because they represent so much in what happened there.
I know that I don't know if I mentioned it to you when I was up at your farm or not, but I know it's a proven fact that I think it was 60 to 65% of the veterans who have post-traumatic stress disorder never saw combat.
And you did mention that.
I did mention that, did I? Okay. And it's a fact. You can look it up. You can research it, but it is a fact. And they attribute that to, in the military, everything is regimentated. You have time you get up in the morning, what time you do this, what time you do that, what time you do that, you know, go run, do this, do eat, blah, 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 go to bed, you know. And when that vet gets out, if he's got a wife or, you know, special other or whatever, family or kids, and now he's got to go get a job, and he's got to do this, and he's got to do that, the pressure of making these decisions can be very, you know, mind-boggling. And they can crash. And I'm not saying all do, but, you know, a lot do. You know, and it's just something that, you know, because everybody associates post-traumatic stress disorder with combat
right.
in a vet. It doesn't necessarily have to be so. You know, it could be something that happened prior to his service and his service activated it or, you know, whatever. But, it's just a proven fact. And I was just curious, you know, the veterans that you have, if they establish a relationship with one of your horses, do they try to carry that relationship back to their families? Mm. You know, I was just curious.
I think what might come up, and that's such an interesting point, I think what might come up is that, you know, whatever connection they make with the horses is representative of either something that is missing or that is present in their life.
Okay.
And if it's missing, then it might be able to show them how to reconstruct that or put it back in place. And if mm-hmm. it's present, it might be something that they didn't recognize or okay. realize was there.
Right, right.
And also, I think what the horses can point out, certainly, they tend to act out things physically that then, and myself and Dr. Maria would never necessarily know what that meant. To us, it might not mean anything, but to the veteran that has seen the horse do this or that, it might mean everything in the world. I have one story I've shared before about a veteran that came to our farm from the men's unit at Lyons, and every so often, we will be told as they arrive that there is a veteran that's on watch. And the first time that happened, I didn't know what it meant. I admit to being ignorant there. And when it hit me what it meant, I got nervous because I was like, oh, my God, this is really serious. And I felt like, I hope we do a good job kind of thing. But that day, we had a veteran, Iraq veteran, that came, and we were notified he was on watch. And he was wearing this really ratty Yankees cap. It ratty by meaning like the strings coming off the brim, and it was just old and faded. And I didn't notice it about that until something happened with the hat. We had asked them to create an obstacle course or a pathway, mm-hmm. which they then turned into an obstacle course, actually, and then to invite the horses to travel through with them. And so they were in the process, the course was built, and they were in the process of getting the horses lined up to go through it. And my Appaloosa came up behind the line, and as this veteran turned his head to the side to look, the hat came over, and the horse grabbed the brim of the hat in his mouth and trotted off with it. And I saw, wow, that was sort of unique. And then it became a cat or a play monkey with the hat between the horse and the veterans, and the activity that we had assigned just kind of disintegrated because it became all about getting this hat back from the horse. And that's what I mean when I say we have a plan, but we don't always follow it.
Right.
So we just sort of were watching going, what is going to happen here? And it went on for about 10 minutes. And the veteran whose hat was stolen was kind of laughing and running and trying to cut him off. And they had they started to create ways to strategize getting the hat from the horse. And every time they got close to him, he would wait for them to get about 5 or 6 feet away, and then he would just run off to another side of the arena. Wow. So after about 10 minutes of this, we started to see the body language of the veterans, the veteran who was missing his hat, go to the center of the arena, and he just kind of started to shut down. His shoulders came down, his head came down, and he just started to kick the dirt a little bit. And we checked in. We said, hey, what's going on out there? And everybody answered but him. And then everybody kind of got still because they realized that the activity wasn't going anymore. And the horse who had the hat came over to the center of the arena where the veteran was standing, and he dropped it on the ground. Hmm. And as he picked it up, he's kind of wiping the slobber off it. And I called out. I said, hey, we can wash that off for you. And he's like, it's all right. And he puts it on, and he put it on backwards this time. And when we processed later, we didn't end up doing our course because we ran out of time at that point. But when we processed later, his one word was laughter. And at that time, I didn't really put it together. But later, about an hour after they left, I started just, I started crying because I realized that maybe he had forgotten how to laugh, or maybe he just really needed to laugh to open up some other emotion or whatever might come next after that. But when I put it together that he was the veteran they warned us was on watch, and that this horse created this game or activity over a hat. And that's when I kind of looked up. I sort of shrugged my shoulders, and I look up and I go, I guess I'm doing the right thing because these horses really do know what to do.
Yeah.
So on watch, does that mean suicide watch?
Yeah.
And did they give you any feedback on afterwards?
Unfortunately, with the hospital, we don't get to have too much back and forth because they're Alliance, they're veterans, they're VA client.
The VA hospital,
And so we don't get a lot of contact or interaction.
The HIPAA laws and all that other jazz, you know, privacy.
But, and I respect that. I so respect that, but I have thought about him.
Yes.
Has he ever come back?
This was back in 2014, I think, or 13. And I every now and then I think about him, and I hope he's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Now, you said you also help children.
Yes. We work with five to 10-year-olds.
Okay. Oh. How is that different than with a vet? Or is it?
Yeah.
No, I mean, you know, obviously the kids are kids, but the procedure with the horses, is it the same or is it different?
It is mostly the same. The goals are slightly different. Because we're dealing with traumatic loss. So we have a partnership with Good Grief Princeton, and they send us 6 to 9-year-olds, although we desperately need funding for that program this year because it's sort of scheduled but on hold. But they will bring out 10 children from their program. And so we structure it a little bit differently because they're young, so we speak a little bit differently. We make it more about games that we're going to do with the horses.
Okay.
And the activities are a little bit more prescribed because ambiguity is a little harder with that. But the goal is the same. The goal is to allow them to be present, allow them to laugh, allow them to run, and to get all that out of their body. And really we hope at the end of that session that they walk out realizing that they can handle something much larger than themselves. And the metaphor we use there is that their grief or their loss is the horse. And if they can lead, if a 5-year-old child can lead a 16-hand Lipizzaner who weighs 1,200 pounds around the arena with a piece of yarn, it's very empowering, and it's something that they can remember that they did. And I ask the parents who are able to watch from a viewing area, I ask the parents as they leave to remind their children that, you know, when things do seem too big to handle, that they did do that. And that horse represents all of the emotions that are too much for them to identify, verbalize, talk about, understand.
Right, right. Now, when either a vet or a child, or I'm assuming, when they come, how long is the session that they go through?
Generally 2 hours.
Runs
about 2 hours. We watch carefully because we can sort of see when a peak happens in the session. It's like anything else, you know, it runs through a curve really.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the client reaches peak, which is when we'll usually recognize it as like that aha moment or that something has been identified or recognized, even if it's in the first 30 minutes, we'll generally let, and with a group it's a little harder because we're not doing individual therapy, we're working as a group. But if the group reaches a peak early on in that session, we will kind of let the rest of the time play out. And that might mean let's just take the horses out to graze, or let's just maybe do some hand grooming. And by hand grooming, not using brushes, just putting our hands on the horses and being close to them. And we try not to put too much more on that. If they reach a peak early in the session, we'll just let the rest of it be a very peaceful environment. Sometimes we spend the whole time trying to accomplish a goal or an activity and we don't accomplish it. And that's not so important, actually, because that's how life is. You know, sometimes you're working towards a goal.
Exactly.
And you may not reach it that day. But
you may not reach it ever, but, mm-hmm. you know.
And that might make you step back and say, do I really want to go for this goal? Is it the right goal? So it's not about accomplishing the task. We always have to remember, sometimes I get in that A-type mode of like, but you need to finish the course and get the horse through it. And I've realized the more I do this and the more the horses teach me, that might not be the right answer. Maybe that's the wrong goal.
It's the journey, really, more than the
end. Sure.
Yeah. And that's what we're looking for as facilitators. Yeah. We're watching not so much does our client accomplish the task, but how do they go about it?
Right.
Which horse do they go towards? Is it the one that's coming towards them or the one that's running away from them? Mm-hmm. You know, and when they do get close to the horse, how does the horse react to them? And then how do they react to that? Mm-hmm. So it gives us a lot of information about how they are present in this present moment.
Well, I have a question about Dr. Maria. Now, is there a certain part of that two-hour period when she definitely takes a half an hour, or is she just observing the whole time? How much does she interact with the people who come?
We stay pretty much side by side the whole time. Mm-hmm. And again, we're not... Our goal is not talk therapy, so we don't really talk about much. If we have had veterans that do open up and they think they feel safe to share among themselves, and once they realize that we're not a threat or we're not judging in any way, sometimes we'll be so far away from them physically that they feel safe to talk amongst themselves. But again, we're not asking them to share verbally. However, sometimes something will come up or something gets said, and if it is any kind of a flag or, you know, on a mental health note, if it is any kind of, you know, something to notice that way on a professional level, then Dr. Maria is certainly aware of that. And if it's a Lions client, we'll mention it to the therapist at Lions and say, hey, we saw this in the arena today and this was said and we just want to make you aware.
Right.
Or if it's our open group, you know, she might find a very clean way to ask a question. I'm trying to think of an example, but it's hard right now. But, you know, a veteran might say, well, this horse is just like my wife. That just came out. And that has actually been said. And so Dr. Maria might then say, tell me more about that. Mm-hmm. Or tell me more, what about this horse is like your wife? To see if there might not be something. And she's not doing that to try and get information out of them. She's trying to do that to let the veteran link on a more deeper level as to why there is that connection or recognition or resemblance. And then once that is discovered, now we might be able to say, okay, so what could you do with this horse to solve that problem? Mm-hmm. And usually what happens that works with the horse is something they can try with their wife that might actually work.
Really interesting.
And it might just be give space or listen better or breathe and calm down before you ask the horse to walk over that pole or, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because, you know, like I said, it's a lot of the therapeutic farms around this county, the clients ride the horses.
Mm-hmm.
So in your case, it's to me is very interesting that you're accomplishing this without having them ride the horses. You know what I mean? Because I know there's...
I can.
I want to say I know there's at least four that I know of in the county. Mm-hmm. There may be more, but I know of at least four.
I refer people all the time because they're looking for therapeutic riding, and I'll say, you need to go to Riding with Heart or to Mainstream.
Right,
or to-
right. Because I know, like I said, I know there's at least four, and, you know, and they ride. And it's therapeutic to ride, too, if you like.
Absolutely.
If you like riding. Me, I, you know, born in Brooklyn, man. I don't know much about horses that I know, you know. But
so there's a major difference, and I can address that a little bit as a horse person. So riding is amazing, and there's been so many studies because therapeutic riding has been around a lot longer than EAP, which is equine-assisted psychotherapy,
right,
and
right.
EGALA. So in the riding, there's so much research. You can Google it, and so much research will come up as far as motor skills and physical connection, and it's great for TBI because it allows the motion of the horse walking with you on their back connects all kinds of neurons in the body. So there's a lot that is mental and social and physical that happens through the riding. EGALA was actually founded through some side effects of therapeutic riding that they started to realize that emotionally there were changes happening. And so their interest was to really find out what happens if we take the client off the horse and take riding out of the equation and we only focus on the mental and emotional side of it. And then if they do the therapeutic riding in addition to that, that's different. It's great and it's a wonderful thing. So I'm not discounting riding. In fact, I need to ride more because it's my therapy. But
you know, if they both work,
well, what
that's the
happens,
whole thing.
What
you know?
Happens when we take the client off the horse and now we're just standing on level ground together? So when you're riding, and especially for therapeutic riding, there's usually sidewalkers. There's usually someone leading the horse.
Mm-hmm.
The horse has a bridle on, which has a piece of metal in its mouth a bit. It has a saddle and a girth around its belly, and the rider's up on that saddle. So and if you think about a horse as a prey animal, that's where the lion attacks them, is on their back. So it's actually a very vulnerable place for a horse to allow. So there's a definite connection that happens there for that to work. When you're not on their back, they now all of a sudden become a 1,000-pound prey animal or a 1,000-pound flight animal that is much larger than you, that moves much faster, yet at the same time it evokes all this grace and longing and a sort of a metaphor for freedom and being able to just run and be free, or to have something that large and that powerful be so still and that you can actually control where it goes
right.
without all that tack.
Right.
So there's something very empowering. And when the horses are able to act out what's going on emotionally for the clients, then they get to see it's a different question and a different answer that
right.
creates the connection.
We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there! into it.
Everybody run down.
Get involved.
Everybody get.
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. Our guest today likes to be known as Cece, but we call her Christiana Capra, and she has Spring Rains of Life. Hey, I got it right. And you're going to tell us about a couple events you've got coming up. Yeah. So let's start with the first one.
By the way, my Italian father would appreciate that you keep saying my real name. Okay, I just have to say it, I guess. So there is a horse that I met in New York City in 1996, became my competition horse. In 2007, he got me EGALA certified, and in 2009, we started doing this work. His name is Spring Thaw, and he did 10 years of this work and worked with all kinds of clients. He served over 700 veterans in our arena from June 2012 to January 17th, 2018. On January 20th of this year, he passed away. We spent the better part of that day trying to help him get to his feet, and he was 31. So in horse world, that's like 90s, and there were several veterans in our program that are older. They're Vietnam vets, and I think they resonated with him on several levels. He was very arthritic, and so in the winter he would get stiff, and I think they said, yeah, I'm stiff too, buddy. Or I have to say, actually, a lot of our veterans nicknamed him the General or Grandpa. So anyway, here I was on Wednesday the 24th, just 4 days after I lost, you know, maybe the horse of my lifetime, who helped do all this with us and start all this and teach us. I found out from the Dom unit at Lyons that he had been selected to be awarded a Medal of Honor from the VA in New Jersey. And I didn't really know what that meant when they said it. I was just sort of numb. And I said, wow, that's really cool. And they didn't know that he had passed away a few days before.
Right, right.
So when they sent me the email, the VA sent me an email later that day to confirm kind of what it was. And when I read that email, I was really sort of speechless, because he's a horse.
Yeah.
And it found out that what he actually got was the 2017 Plane Tree Service Animal Medal of Honor, which is a national medal of honor. And so he was selected as a service animal in New Jersey. But then that went further somehow, and he became a national medal of honor recipient. And there were only 15 states represented for 2017, and New Jersey was one of them. And so Spring Thaw is receiving this award on March 20th. The VA had to choose that it was a weekday and in March. And so when they gave me that, I said, well, can it be the 20th? Because that would have actually been his 31st birthday. And they said, yes, that's available. So that's how the date was chosen. And I realize it's a work day, and it's during the work week. But so far, we have found out that Senator Bateman will be attending. Congressman Leonard Lance is not able to attend because he's going to be voting in D.C. that week. But we did receive this week in the mail a certificate from the United States House of Representatives, or United States Congress, stating that this flag of the United States of America is to certify that the accompanying flag was flown over the United States Capitol on February 22nd, 2018, at the request of Honorable Leonard Lance, member of Congress, excuse me, I'm sorry, this flag was flown in honor of Spring Thaw, Plane Tree Service Animal Medal of Honor recipient, and we received the flag. So I'm realizing, as this is all developing, kind of without my control, that this horse was not just my horse, that by the time he transitioned out of this world, he had become everybody's horse. And he helped a lot of people, and I guess maybe along the way I saw that, but I maybe didn't really accumulate it until now.
Right.
And like I said, a lot of stuff is coming in that I wouldn't have even thought about. We found out last week, too, that we have a Vietnam veteran that's coming to play the bagpipes.
All right.
I can't wait because I love bagpipes. And we have, weather permitting, on the 20th of March, we will have New Jersey's chapter of Rolling Thunder there to support, and they have said that they will ride in formation. And we have a lot of veterans coming, some who worked with him, some who want to say something. And I'm opening it up, anybody who does want to join us. We will be at Hunt Cap Farms.
What was the name of the farm?
Hunt Cap Farms, which is 401 Main Street in Three Bridges, New Jersey.
At what time?
10:30 a.m.
Are there going to be any parking there?
We are figuring out alternative ways to park cars just in case. You know what? The Three Bridges Fire Department is, they're volunteer, but they're willing to be there to help us with that, provided there's no fires.
Well, that's great. That's great. And there's a lot of people coming, and, you know, that'll be great.
And it's going to be great, actually, because I think it'll be a really nice way to have a birthday party and a medal ceremony and a farewell. I don't want to say funeral because that sounds sad. So a farewell all at the same time. And I
think it's a great way to remember the horse and all that the horse did.
And really, I think in my motivation personally, I mean, yes, I love this horse very much. But in my motivation, I realized that he gave so much in our arena and he taught so much and he led us to where we are now. And It feels like my mission and my personal charge is to make sure that we make him proud and that we continue this
and
work.
And you continue doing it.
Yes.
Right. Now, I understand you have something else coming up. So in the last 2 minutes, you want to tell us what that is.
Okay. And I'll say, everybody, and God help me with this, because normally we put a lot of planning into our comedy night. It's an annual event. And this year, it's, in a way, it was a good thing it got pushed back, but it's on April 21st. It's a Saturday night, and it's going to be at the Flemington Elks Lodge, which is where it's been for the last 3 years. We did sell out last year, so we're hoping to do that again. But on April 21st, we have comedy night, and we've got 5 comics coming to entertain. It includes dinner, and there's a full-service cash bar. The tickets are $35 each, and that's really not a bad deal when you consider it concludes dinner. And so the doors open at 5:30, and the show begins at 7 p.m. We'll have a lot of raffles and fun gift basket items. And the main goal of this event is to bump up our funding for 2018 and make sure that we're running these
right.
groups.
And that helps with your other...
Yes, it helps with our veterans programming and our at-risk teen programming and also our children's programming.
So how do they get tickets? Do they just show up or do they have to do something in advance?
We do have tickets available online, which is through our website, springrainsoflife.org, and that's spring like a season, reins like a bridle on a horse, and oflife.org. There's a column on the right that says Comedy Night Events, and if you click on that, there's a way to get to buy tickets online. You can buy individual, or if you want to reserve somehow, you need to actually buy a table, which is, it seats 10 people. And if not, I have tickets in hard copy available at the farm. I'm certainly willing to meet people in Flemington or nearby to sell tickets if they want to just pay for them and get a hard ticket in their hand. There is a surcharge if you buy it online because of the credit card, but people are welcome to contact me and I can figure out a way to hook up with them to give them actual tickets.
All right. If somebody wants to know more about your organization, is there a website or a phone number you want to give out?
Yes, our website is springrainsoflife.org.
Okay.
And we're also on Facebook. I'm a little more active on Facebook because I'm not a web person and it's hard to update the site. We're looking for a volunteer, actually, to take care of our website. But they can reach me on Facebook, which is also just, if you go on Facebook and just look for Spring Rains of Life, will come up.
And
okay.
For people who can't spell, that's Rains, R-E-I-N-S.
Thank you.
Well, Christina Capra, I want to make your father happy. Cece, it's been a privilege having you on. And I hope to see you on the 20th. I hope to be there.
I'd love you to be there because you are a veteran, sir.
Yes, I am. But I would love to be there. And since it's in the morning, I probably can make it. So, but I thank you again for taking the time to come. And
excellent.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And if you're ever interested, I'd love to come back in the future.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And remember, folks, mental health really does matter. See you next week.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers,